When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
If you're that lightsaber and you wanted to cut your hair real quick and it's long, are you going to get the knife out or are you just going
I'm not going to use a lightsaber. Lightsaber burns. Have you one? Are you a fan of the smell of burning hair? I think it's awful. Two, it's going to curl up and be all damaged. No, come on now. She's got a knife. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on Genreverse YouTube channel. It's also on the Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps, such as Google, Spotify, SoundCloud. I don't know if it's SoundCloud anymore. What's the other? Stitcher. There's the Stitcher, S word I was looking for. Subscribe here if you're watching us. We really do appreciate it. Lots of great content on the channel. Going to be some AX Anime Expo coverage coming up in the next week as Christine and I head out there to cover it for both the channel and LRMonline.com for all your entertainment news needs. Lots of written articles. There are videos, celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel, and more. Hey, we do have merch. Link to our Redbubble is down below as well. I'm Kyle, joined today by Shockey and Cam to discuss The Acolyte episodes 4 and 5. But before that, Shockey missed out on episode 3. And episode 3 was an atrocity. So, Shockey, real quick, man, what did you think of episode 3, man?
I mean, we'll get into, but basically my issue with the entire Acolyte show is the storyline and the writing for it just absolutely goes nowhere and stuff. Episode 3 was the flashback episode, or was it the one after the flash?
The flashback.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So the flashback episode, now seeing it in all the way through episode 5, has no meaning to it whatsoever. Like, it basically, you take that episode out and we're still like, you watch 1, 2, 4, 5, you don't need to even know the episode 3. That's what frustrates me. All right. When you do a flashback episode or anything, it has to add to the story. I'm okay with the group of witches, they're not part of the Dathomir group, but it was a different covenant of the witches, and that's okay with me and stuff. And if that had kind of progressed into something bigger and better, great. Cringy dialogue, cringy choreographing.
Cringy, I think, song.
Yeah, the song, chant. Yeah, the chants, the whole Osha and May conflict of being twins, one wanting going to the light side, one going to the dark side. I mean, how many times do we see twins in this in Star Wars, in general? It's like, damn, if you have twins, one's going light, one's going dark, or one's going to be, it is what it is and stuff. So it was just, storyline is horrible. I'm okay. I think, like I've said before, if you go to the previous podcast, I would be cool, like really cool, if somebody did a Night Sisters kind of horror series, go down that
route. Pitched that idea.
Go a little bit darker and stuff. I think that'd be really cool, concept to explore. I thought that was kind of what we were getting into, kind of leading to the future episodes, and it didn't pan out to be anything. And the acting, the acting is what you can with the writing is what you get. The writing's horrible, right? So you can only do so much acting with what the writing is. And that was some of the worst writing storyline I've ever seen in a while. Like it's sad because, you know, these are professional writers. I'm not saying that these people and try to do it on purpose, but it was bad. Episode 3 to me it's a waste. Now, when you look back at it now, after seeing 4 and 5, you can't tell me that episode pushed the storyline further, because if you take it all out, no harm, no foul.
Hold on, because clearly they're setting up still to this time that's going on that May is not remembering. Sorry, not May. OSHA is not remembering the events from May's point of view. May's got a completely different point of view of what just happened there. So we've saw things from OSHA's point of view. It's pretty obvious, considering the trailer footage we've got, that we're getting another flashback that's going to tell us the #true situation of what happened. So it might not feel like it pushed the story on in any way now, but, and I'm not saying this is necessarily good, but I think it's pretty obvious that they're coming back to this and that what we saw wasn't necessarily what happened.
Okay, so my argument to that is though, who's the main villain of this storyline now? Is it May or is it Kamir?
I don't know. I mean,
or is it the Jedi?
The Jedi.
I think we have to wait and see. I mean, I have my criticisms of this show as well. They're not as severe as you two, but I did say to Kyle earlier on, both of you, now that I'm remembering, that for me it's like I feel like I need to see the end game to see if it's been worth it at the moment, because if there's enough there to make it worth it, to make it worth going back and watching and seeing how it all kind of came together, then great. It's setting itself up to have a lot of stuff happen, that, you know, this really big impact in the finale, and I'm scared that it's just not going to deliver, and therefore it's going to make the rest of the series much worse as a result. If they really deliver an exceptional finale that's kind of a bit out there and what people weren't necessarily expecting, then it could still be a not bad series overall. And I admit some of the writing in that previous episode 3 was poor. I agree, the chanting, just bad idea. You know, just pick something else. You know, as Kel said, there's a lot of things that you could pick there to do that would be different. So I accept all of that. It's definitely, there's some writing issues on the show in terms of the dialogue. And I think that even comes into the episodes that we watched, you know, 4 and 5 as well. I think there's some dialogue's okay, and some characters' dialogue, they just don't seem to have a feel for the character or where they come in. So, you know, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's I don't think it's quite as bad as...
I'll say this before we transition into our thoughts on episodes 4 and 5, as excuse my dog barking in the background. But Brian, who does the anime content with us here on the channel, said that this really feels like it should have been a movie instead.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I can kind of see that. Cam, you did start talking a bit about 4 and 5. Why don't you finish? Go ahead and giving us your general, you know, short thoughts on 4 and 5 together and a grade for it.
Okay, so my general thoughts on 4 and 5, and I'm glad that we're grading them together, because I kind of feel like they really missed the trick by not making these one episode. It really is one episode that they have just cut in half. And where they cut it last week was a bad place to cut it, in my opinion. That was just poorly edited and the poor decisions made in terms of how to cut that. From what I've heard, there was a writer talking online that it was originally written as a one episode, but because of mandated about how long episodes need to be and how many episodes need to be in a season, more coming from the sort of Lucasfilm Disney side of things, that they were kind of forced to put a split in that somewhere. And I think that was a bad call. I don't know why Disney are so intent on, you know, having to have a certain amount of episodes or their shows not being too long. Like, one of the things I've
loved running ads on them.
No, we're exactly right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, they kind of are. There is the ad-based tier, but it's not.
Is that started already? Or?
It's not like intercut like traditional TV.
Yeah, I think that's out there now, yeah. I'm not on it, but I believe it exists, yeah. And that's one of the issues I've got with this show is The Acolyte felt to me like it should have been treated with the same respect as Andor was, and it might have been a good story in terms of just take your time, write the episodes as you want, and I kind of feel that studio rushing and interference. And I've heard that Dave Filoni had some influence on toning down this show in some ways and making it slightly more family friendly than what it originally was intended Leslie Headland.
From
that's the word that's going about, and where I heard that from was John Rocha on the Hot Mic. Now, he's not as well connected as his co-host Jeff Snyder and stuff like that, but he keeps saying that this is something that he's heard consistently, that Filoni in his new role work to tone down, you know, and make it a little bit more family friendly, The Acolyte. So that would be to me where my issues would lie with it. As an overall 4 and 5, if I'm saying that's one episode, it's the best episode we've had in the season so far. Some of the action was good. I was in no way surprised by a few twists, story choices, which we'll get to. They were pretty much telegraphed from page one. So that wasn't that great, but at the same time, the way the action was done and the kind of brutal nature of some of it, and I liked spending a bit more time with a bad character, a proper bad character, because that's kind of what I felt like we were promised from this show from the outside. So I would say, what did I give episode one a B?
I can check. Give me a quick
second.
You're a B
minus. You're higher, yeah. B-.
Whoa.
I think you said B minus.
Crap. It's on the write-up, not on the video. I'll look it up. You did something like a B minus.
You'll give it. If I said B minus, then this one was a B.
You gave episode four a B?
No, episode four and five together. I'm giving a B.
And then four and five.
If I include them as one. The one you hated episode three, I gave a C minus, which to me is the lowest grade I would give something if it's watchable. I didn't like it.
Not watchable,
but to me it was wasn't. I've very rarely seen something that comes in at B minus.
You gave B minus, Cam to one and two.
Yeah.
Shocky and I gave C pluses. Yep. My kind of short thoughts on it. 4 was really rough. Not like horrible, but because it was better than 3, but it was a lot of little things. I hated the frickin' handheld translators, especially when we've had entire conversations with droids, and they clearly have droids that can fit in your pocket and whatnot. And I didn't really like that. That felt just kind of a weird one. I didn't like the creature they needed to track people.
Basil?
And somehow,
you didn't like Basil?
Somehow they still had the Wookiee's scent on a cloth 10 years old.
And they lost Basil? Just like a
and
real
they,
hunter?
They too? Lose him, and it's like you guys can't sense him through the Force. You didn't put a tracker on him. Like
horrible hunters.
Just some of the stupid things that happened in episode 4 were irksome. And of course, continued with, kind of cheesy writing, kind of cheesy dialogue. Episode 5 has a lot of really cool action scenes in it, a lot of really cool moments. I'm wondering if Disney, I mentioned how in episodes 1 and 2, they had that whole kids don't know what they're talking about. Their minds change all the time. And then they're like, well, I mean, come on now. You you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to be this way. Our kids make up their minds, and that's a good thing. And then kids change their minds. You know, it was two images that they were trying, two realities they were trying to get people to accept at once. And in this one, they have someone talking about, I want to live outside of my mask, wield my power, and they're murderous, evil people, evil person, right? So I'm wondering if Disney is catching all of the or if the writers are aware of all the mixed signals they might be putting in here. And I think that's because they aren't really good at writing.
Wouldn't you say that a Sith doesn't view themselves as evil, though? Even Palpatine probably, you know, didn't view himself.
But Cam, you're thinking inside the story. I'm thinking about what the writers outside are just trying to tell the audience. Yeah. Like I don't want to get into too much of the politics, but it's clear to see where certain things being said or done are meant to elicit similar situations, but in a real world sense. And I think some of their messaging comes off as kind of mixed. Like I said, when they're like, they can make their decisions. They are their own people. And then in the next scene, they're like, come on, you're a kid. Your mind's going to change all sorts of times, right? The action was good. They got to explain why dude is so powerful that he can fly, essentially. You know, he floats down, which looked cool, but it's not. And I know Jedi can use the Force to boost themselves up and slow themselves down. I know Jedi can boost themselves up and slow themselves down. But that one was like, that was almost like superhero flying. And I don't like Vader doing that stuff. Just because other Star Wars stuff has had it happen doesn't mean it's a good thing. Spinning lightsabers, not a good thing.
What did you think of the choreography though, in terms of, like, I know you're not most into spinning lightsabers, but compared to like prequel choreography?
Yeah, no, there's a lot more, there seemed to be a lot more weight to it. There's still a little bit of that over choreographed aspect where you have especially in a group where you literally have people waiting for their turn to do things, and you catch that a few times. It was clever, I think, to have it in a forest and use the trees to maybe hide some of those weights and whatnot. We can't deny that it wasn't awesome to see him, you know, impale a couple of people and then impale one person and pull another person into the blade. Yeah, that was great. But is it enough to like save the series? Is that going to carry me through the end? God, no, because even in episode 5, you had writing issues. So overall, though, best stuff we've seen so far. And if you combine it together as one episode, I can kind of be in that B- range myself.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Shockey, what do you got, man?
I'm about to rip it to shreds. Episode 4 is another way. Like, we didn't need it. It's a walk through the park, right?
Yeah.
We have May, who's, you know, one of the main characters. just go travel all the way through these woods to then just say, you know what, guys, I'm done killing Jedi. I'm going to turn myself in and be done with it. Okay. Which then leads to the whole showdown with Kamir. What's the actor's name? Who plays Yord?
Charlie Barnett, the Russian doll guy.
Yeah. Charlie Barnett, man. I don't know the guy. I haven't seen him in any other, but I feel for him because his dialogue that he has to read is god awful. Osha, stay with me. Osha, don't go too far. We lost Baze. Like, come on.
And his motivations are so weird. Oh, I feel he's so aggressive, and then he's like, has nothing to be aggressive about.
I feel so bad for him. And like, I'm sorry they put him out of his put him out of his misery in episode 5, but at the same time too, listen, man, just 3 more episodes of him talking the way he did. I don't know if I could have dealt with it, but like, it's the dialogue, the story is horrible, right? We're going into the woods, we're trying to find a Jedi for episode 4 that we should know where he is using the Force, right?
Yeah.
You know, just be like, okay.
Everyone can hide in the Force. Shocky, everyone does.
Well, you know, maybe it's one of those dark Force, you know, can, like, you know, Dagobah, I get it, and stuff. That's what some people were saying, how Yoda was able to hide in the in the woods in Dagobah and stuff. I get it, okay?
No evidence of that.
There is no evidence. You're absolutely right, but there was that argument on social media and stuff. And
it's
a possibility, right? Yeah, I'll go with that and stuff. But you're talking about you're sending, you know, 8 Jedi down there, and then you bring along a civilian who left the Jedi Order. We still don't know why. Just kind of vaguely out there and stuff. That and then walking along and stay with us. And then you have and it's still debated on whether or not Basil's a Jedi or just an ally of the Jedi and stuff. But supposed to lead the Jedi to the Wookiee, and just takes off. Just says, we're gone. Like, what? Who in their right mind and the directing, you know, producers said, oh yeah, it's a great idea, guys. Let's let the guide dog just run off. You know, So episode 4 was a waste because there was no advancement in the story whatsoever. We didn't get anything out of it. Except May saying she's going to go, just all of a sudden says, you know what, my sister's alive, I'm going to, you know, leave. But then it goes to waste in, you know, in episode 5, because she sees her sister and says, nah, it's in that right there, that 30-second clip of them talking to each other, probably the worst editing ever. Shows with one actor playing twins that does a better job on a TV budget showing off it. The cut, still, like, talk here. It was so bad. The lightsaber cutting hair, you know, come on. Like, listen, I get it. Everybody's...
I never had an issue with that, but I agree with the whole that conversation between them. What's wrong with using the lightsaber to cut the hair?
But in one fell swoop, I'm going to cut my hair to perfectly look like... No, come Jedi, on. She had...
It's goofy.
She had knives on her from killing Indara. Were those things that she could have just quickly said, boom,
yeah,
boom,
that took ages. If you're that lightsaber and you wanted to cut your hair real quick and it's long, are you going to get the knife out or are you just going
to... I'm not
going
to use a lightsaber. Lightsaber burns. Have you won? Are you a fan of the smell of burning hair? I think it's awful. It's going to curl up and be all damaged. No, come on now. No, she's got a knife.
The cruel fixer here.
Stop, Pam.
All right. you know, I get everybody's in love with the lightsaber battle, you know, at the beginning. And Kamir is a total badass. So I'll give it that to me has been kind of the highlight of this show right here is Kamir. But there's the motivation didn't make sense to me, right? Kamir is practicing the dark side of the Force. He doesn't necessarily call himself a Sith. He says the Jedi calls him a Sith. Now the theory is that he's the original Ren, you know, and the Knights of Ren because he's wearing his helmet like this. But at the same time, if he's practicing, there was no one bothering him, right? Practicing the dark side. But then he goes and gets Mei to go then kill Jedi, which then are going to come after him. So his whole argument is, I want to be able to practice the dark side of the Force. Dude, you were doing this beforehand. Like, unless we get some.
I think you're picking that up wrong. I have to say, that's not. That's just what he's telling them. That's what he's telling the Jedi. We shouldn't assume that just because that's what he's saying, especially a character such as this that he's telling the truth.
I will send
the truth
you...
is what he said to Saul. The truth is what he said to Saul. I want an acolyte. I want a pupil. I want an acolyte. The whole thing's been about getting her to become his acolyte. That's what the whole thing is about for him.
Okay.
That's, no, he's not interested
in
those.
I will send you $100 if in the next three episodes they flush out this part with Kamir, because they got three episodes left to flush it out.
Hey, what? And, flush it what? Sorry.
Kamir's motivation and stuff. Like, I don't...
But he could take... Saul, what it was?
I think what Shockey's getting at is what kept him from just finding an acolyte of his own elsewhere.
Yeah.
The Jedi are constantly searching for Force users. I got that.
Right.
But they aren't everywhere all at once. He would find someone Force-sensitive that he could snag before the Jedi easily.
I mean,
the galaxy is a relatively big...
And
place,
he could train
them
through birth, but that might be a more difficult thing to do without his master finding out if he's trying to train somebody up.
Do we assume that he's not the master?
Right.
Like, I think he is
the
big bad.
I think he is.
I think he's the big bad.
The only thing is, he's a little bit young to be an actual master, you know, in the ruler two kind of thing. I think he is a little bit young for that.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
My age, roughly.
You're thinking as someone who knows like the Star Wars lore and background and everything that, and what we've gotten from the show is you can't use that. You got to throw it out. It's Star Wars is whatever it wants it to be now, and that's what it is. It's like if you and I'm not knocking on this, all right. I thought it was kind of an interesting take, but if you want to pluck the Force with a string, you know, like a string, you can. And so, okay, let's flush that out. Let's go a little bit deeper into that, but.
Yeah.
This show has not really done any of that. It's very, very topical and just kind of skims and
that's where I agree with you on that point. Yeah, I agree with you that it's just been so surface that and we haven't dived deep into anything. So I actually completely agree with you on that. I just don't agree with what you're saying about Kamir's motivations being that he wants to live without a mask and all that. That's just pish he's saying to the Jedi. That's like just, you know... rhetoric that he's
actually give him motivation, hey, the Jedi killed my mother or whatever, you know, or this, like whatever, I'm okay with it, then all right, I
he doesn't need
perfect
motivation, but there does need to be some connection between him and Yord.
I'm gonna get us there. Mike, what would you grade episode 4 and 5 combined as if it were one?
D+.
You gave a C- to 1 and 3.
D+. No, D+. 1 and 3 is an F. 1
or,
and 2.
Excuse me, 1 and 2.
1 and 2
gave,
is a C+. But the lightsaber fighting was the highlight. But everything else, if you took out the lightsaber part of this whole ordeal, listen, did anybody else find it a little kind of weird that he used the lightsaber like a gun and was gonna like held hostage and was gonna go through May like that? You know.
So you said D+.
Yeah, D+.
I'm gonna change my 1 and 2 down to a C, and I'll make 4 and 5 a C+. Some of the stuff you were throwing down, I had thought of, and yeah, I'll agree. Getting into more of that discussion of the wait, you said something. What were you asking?
Did you think it was kind of weird? Like I thought it was really weird how Kamir used the lightsaber like a gun when he held May or Osha hostage.
I thought it was. Cool idea, yeah. You know. I'll turn it on and put it through her skull.
That was definitely a new take on using a lightsaber to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought of, you know, why not do it more often. But anyways, getting into lore, motivations, gripes, and taking what's said too literally. There's been a lot of hubbub and outrage. Ever since a certain Jedi Master appeared on screen who utters a line about not seeing Sith in 1,000 years, and this guy hasn't seen Sith in the show himself yet, and we know the Jedi are trying to keep secrets around each other all the time. Some people taking it, you know, well, if the Sith haven't been seen in 1,000 years, that must mean there was none out there. And then some people will point that out, and they're like, well, yeah, there was none out there, but the Jedi haven't seen them. And it's like, come on now. If they're out there looking for stuff, you're going to run into them every now and then.
Yeah.
Could it not be, one, Lucas doesn't know how to write very well, and he likes these cool little moments that might sound cool, but it doesn't necessarily work with the larger story and world. But also, could it not be just like a figure of speech? It's been so long since it's been 100 years. You know, we exaggerate speech all the time in reality. My point being is, don't be beholden to that type of that type of stuff so die hard, because that's the least of this show's problems. And you got Filoni these days out there keeping good company with Pablo Hidalgo, where even Filoni's like, yeah, you know, canon, it's flexible, timey-wimey type Doctor Who shit now.
Well, I mean, it's okay if he's like the whole Ki-Adi Mundi changing his birth year and stuff like that. I'm fine with that. Whatever,
that could be fine.
Give another 20 years to the guy and stuff like that. You know, make somebody older, make somebody
younger. Why?
If you're right, why? But if you say, hey, it helps the story out, okay, we can make a little tweak there. You know, it's just the same argument, you know. You had Leia and Luke kissing each other, you know, and stuff like that. And they're like, well, let's change that to them being brothers and sisters. That makes more sense. And stuff
I cannot stand the people that find this Ki-Adi Moon.
Oh,
whatever.
I don't.
Crap.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I cannot stand the people that find that more offensive than Obi-Wan and Leia together.
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Like,
can I present you with somebody that could make the Ki-Adi Mundi thing make sense? Again, this is the way I would go with it. We've already proved that they're not necessarily going to go the way I would go, because I would have made Darth Teeth the master rather than the apprentice, and Kimir the apprentice, and had them, you know, changed it up that way. But anyway, but what if, you know, the Sith, if the idea is they kill everybody and no one can kind of report back what happened to them, you know? So what if at the end, because we know Venestra Rowe appears at some point, she doesn't seem to be there at the moment, but we know she turns up at some point using her light whip, right? So what if there is some Jedi that discover something, but they agree that it was nothing and just agree to kind of bury the secret?
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily to keep it a secret, oh, the Sith are back, but let's not tell everybody, but just, no, let's not bother with council. This, we're probably wrong. This is just something else, you know, just that blind dogma of this could possibly have happened. And if he's involved in that, it actually would be a touchstone into him saying that, you know, that's how I would write that, and that would be me for a reason to why I would want to bring him back and make him younger, older, to be able to add that in. However, I'm not saying it's necessarily the best idea in the world, but, you know, that's the only reason I could think of why you would want to have a very specific character come back, the one that actually said that. So it's a possibility.
I don't think it's all that canon shattering this situation. I don't even think having Sith pop up and people actually know it, because, like I said, I think of exaggeration. I don't I don't necessarily take. I don't know. This show could have played into a lot of good canon and a lot of good lore that has been expressed both in the EU. That they could have adapted, amalgamated into their you know, new stuff and stuff from their High Republic books and prequel era stuff, but they haven't, and instead they've tried to shove stuff in that didn't necessarily need to be shoved in when you had so much space to begin with. I actually had a thought, and I cannot kill any more time trying to bring it back to the forefront of my mind. What else do you guys want to discuss on these two episodes? I feel like we've actually covered quite a bit. Shockey or Cam, was there anything specific you guys wanted to get at on it? Anything?
Well, for me, it would just be talking about potential
what could happen, you know. Oh, stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where do we go from here, Cam? Take it away.
Well, as I said, you know, the big questions that everyone are asking is, will we find out Kimir's Darth name? You know, will we find out whether he's the apprentice or he's the master? And if he is only the apprentice, will the master show up? And, you know, people are hoping.
And is it Plagueis?
No, it actually, the timeline doesn't work for Plagueis, so people
screw the timeline.
Tenebris.
Screw the timeline.
The canon is whatever it needs to be.
The canon, whatever it is, you know.
But people are hoping that it would be Plagueis or Tenebris, but more Tenebris that would be pre Plagueis.
That's what you think. You're here. You're in this little box. You got to get outside the box, Cam. Outside the box.
Shockey's where I was at with Kenobi. Trying to scrub off my Star Wars tattoo. Gimbal, come off!
But that, to me, is like the interesting part is I want to see more of the Sith, and I want to find out what's happening there, and I want whatever really happened back in that episode 3 to be interesting enough that it's not just, that was it. Oh, that's awful. Yeah. Right, okay, carry on. But I'm not saying that will happen. That's just what I want to happen. The character that I care the least about at the moment, though, I have to say, is Osha / Mei. And I don't think that's where you have to argue about some writing, you know, issues. Because
some writing.
I like Master Saul. I quite liked Jakki in some way. I didn't like Yor, but I kind of think you were meant to
I'm
not
so
like
glad
Yor,
he's dead.
But,
I'm sorry. Yeah. And I the character dies. I mean the character only. Nothing against the actor. Yeah, I'm glad the character's gone.
The Kimir, like, you know, but it's Mei I struggle, and Mei / Osha, I just don't know what if I'm supposed to care about them in any way, and I'm struggling to care about which one am I supposed to care about and which one am I not, or is it both of them? And I just feel
it's
like almost the screen time that a lead should have has been split between two characters, and it's just I just wonder if it wasn't that good an idea to begin with. I don't know, but you know, that's where I struggle with. I kind of don't care at this point. Like, what happens to the Mei and Osha both die at the end? Don't give a shit. There's one of them turn dark and one of them turns Jedi? Don't give a shit. You know, that's literally where I am with it. But I'm interested to find out what happens to Kimir and Saul, and what really happened back at the witch place. You know, that's the things I'm waiting to find out now.
I think I had mentioned how weird and how it seemed like the motivations and stuff for the sisters keeps changing. There's even that time when she's on Coruscant and someone asks her about, you know, she's been constant. I'm not coming back to the Jedi. I'll never go back to the Jedi. And then someone's like, yeah, we wanted to ask you something. She's like, oh, or you want me back in the Jedi? And they're like, no, we want you to do XYZ. And she gets all sad about it. And then, like, you know, Shockey and others have pointed out, you have Mei, who's like, I got to kill all the Jedi. Wait, I don't need to kill all the Jedi. I'm going to go turn myself in. Oh, shit. Look, there's Jedi. Let me run. And, like, I got it. You're going to likely be blamed for the death of the Wookiee, which you were, but you'll get your chance to state your case. You were going to turn yourself in anyways, and you had already killed a bunch of people. So what did you think was going to happen? And that's part of that, like, really bad writing. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to go back in and infiltrate the Jedi because they've, according to her, you know, brainwashed you. We'll find out what all happens. I know someone
don't get that. Jumping in, you saw him pretending to be Osha thing at all. I must admit, I don't see why she would do that. You know, motivation wise at that point, given everything else that's happened in the episode, you'd think she'd just run away. Unless that's all it is, she's trying to run away.
It's just poor character writing. That's what it is. It's straight up poor character writing.
Yeah, it's not. It really is not.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All that great. I had shared with Shockey this post from Twitter from Darth Thunder at Darth Thunder X.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the name. It's kind of hard on the way my screen is set up. But they said, calling it now, Master Soul and Khmer are long lost brothers. Soul, meaning sun, Khmer or Khmer in Arabic equals moon. I think that's a pretty good theory, that they have a connection, whether it's a sibling connection or maybe even father son. I don't know, because he would have reacted more, but a long lost brother. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, because soul kind of
an age difference.
Yeah,
yeah, because soul kind of references like you don't sense it, and he's like, I sense something familiar, like, you know, in their battles and stuff. So I mean, it's a good theory.
Yeah. I think that's something there. What did you guys think about the whole armor? Will it end up in Beskar?
Cortosis.
Cortosis.
Yeah.
Oh, cortosis. Okay.
That armor they brought in from Legends. I still think it's quite a cool idea. Something that they should use more. I like it better.
I don't remember that. What Legends book had that?
It's, I don't know.
Is it like prequel era stuff?
Plagueis stuff and all that.
Okay. Yeah. And it can turn off lightsabers?
So it shorts them out.
So I think it was like old tech, you know, okay. And they would make armor out of it and it would short out lightsabers for a second, but then they would come back on, like what you see basically happen. So so most of the fans have just assumed they're just canonizing this
Cortosis
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like it better than Beskar just being completely impervious.
Just immune to it. Yeah. I was just curious as to the shorting thing. It's yeah, sure, why not? I never really cared for prequel leading stuff in the EU. I liked the post Jedi stuff, especially that which ignored the prequels. Shockey, was there anything else you wanted to talk about or respond to?
Listen, we got 3 episodes left. Now, kind of the mystery. I don't really care about what Mei does. I mean, she's gonna flip her mind 10 more times, right? the story now goes to like, what is Khmer gonna do with Osha? Because he knows it's Osha. Like you can kind of tell when he looks at her and stuff like that. He's like, I got you now. Okay, so maybe he's gonna try to flip her into being, you know, his little acolyte and stuff. Because we still don't know why Osha left the Jedi Council. Another plot hole or bad character writing, whatever you want to call about it. You know, you have all these openings that we haven't flushed out yet. And so, some of the people on, you know, social media have said that when you see Khmer at that moment, it's the Kylo Ren theme. So is it Ren? Is it the beginning of Knights of Ren? Because even though it was started in, you know, the Vader era, it's still, you know, like outside the box.
Stuff that should have been explained in the freaking sequel trilogy.
Yeah. I mean,
no, it's Disney.
Those Knights of Ren didn't look as if they had any force ability or any could compete with a Kylo Ren or a Rey.
You know what? You know why they want it so desperately? You know why fans so... Cam, do you know why fans so desperately want that? Because it was garbage that we got no real explanation during the sequel trilogy. Yeah. And then when they were like, oh, it's going to be in these books, they still didn't flesh out very, very much, because they were like, maybe we'll do something we can make more money from later.
You know what's sad about it is we got 3 episodes left and the average time has been 28 minutes. And so we basically
And it's been so good that they've been so short, because they've been mostly disappointing.
It's garbage, right? Yeah. And so,
where the issue is for me, you know, it's like you don't have any character moments. You know, it probably would have if you shorten off a few minutes here and there.
Yeah,
that probably is a better movie plot.
It could have been an easily a 3-hour Disney Plus movie. Be done with it.
not even 3 hours. You could do this in two.
Oh, well,
two
you
and
could.
And yeah,
you no, the argument is you could legit get rid of Man Osha's. You could legit get rid of Man Osha storyline, and you still have the story of the Acolyte. All you got to do is put one person in to go kill Jedi. You don't need the whole like sibling twin created and so forth. That's where this series. Listen, I'm not trying to if for any of our viewers, if you like the Acolyte and stuff like that, more power to you. You have every right to. I like some of the crappiest 1980s films, like from Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Horrible writing whatsoever.
Shockey's the biggest Suburban Commando fan ever.
Yeah. Suburban Commando, yeah. Last Action Hero and stuff. I mean, it's good entertainment. It's good fun and stuff, and I get it and everything. But I have to be honest, if I'm going to do a review, like if it's something that it's bad, it's bad. It's bad writing. I feel bad for these actors. I feel bad for the production crew and everybody because this storyline just needed more time to flush out. They needed someone.
And it had time and delays.
Right,
like, we can't forget that. This was supposed to be out over a year ago.
And
come
that's
on,
where
now.
I think, in from what I know inside Lucasfilm, I think there's too many people inside Lucasfilm that are yes people, from what I kind of know, and not enough people to kind of say, you can't really do that, or maybe we should look at this, or this doesn't make sense. There's not enough of that. You know, good studios basically have, you know, enough, you know, of different ideas and collaborations where if you have a bad idea or you have an idea that needs to be flushed out more, they'll be like, let's work it out some more. Let's delay it. Let's push it back. Let's make sure that when we go into filming that this story is tight. And that's been the problem with Star Wars lately. The reason why Mando season one is so highly regarded in the Disney era and like Rogue One, the writing was tight. It was, you know, there's not anything that you can look at that storyline and say, it's bad. The Obi-Wan Kenobi, as much as I hyped it and I wanted to love it, by the end of it and thinking that the end, granted to me, I give it a little bit better than, you know, Kyle and Cam. The Obi-Wan Kenobi writing and storyline that have major plot holes into it and stuff. And there's just not enough people in Lucasfilm and in Disney to say, this isn't good. We need to work on this more and bring in another writing, you know, writer and stuff. You know, Andor, you know, is, I know for some people say it's really slow, but the writing on there is exceptional. I'll give credit to where credit's due on there. The writing there is unbelievable.
It does cost more than any other Star Wars show though to make, and they don't like that.
You know, what's that, Andor?
Tony Gilroy's
because of all
Gilroy's
the physical stuff.
Okay,
you know,
right.
He just got that green lit at the right time because it's 2 years earlier, and now that show doesn't get green lit for that.
But you spent $185 million on 28 episodes, you know, 28 minute episodes. $185 million, you know, and that basically is wasted money, you know.
Where is the money? I think, Cam, did I make that joke with you? Did I make that joke with you 2 weeks ago about the money laundering?
Oh, yeah.
I think I did.
Yeah, I think you did mention money laundering.
Where is the money? Like,
listen, and the actors, like every actor on here has, you know, you know, you're talking about people that have, you know, great experience in acting world, and you, and we can look back to, you know, Master Saul and doing what was the Netflix show he did?
Squid Game
and stuff. How amazing was in that and stuff, and you know what he did to learn English and everything for this, you know, series. And then the actors I give credit for, because they're doing the best with what they got, and it's pretty bad.
In terms of the budget, you just look at House of the Dragon Season 2 compared to The Acolyte, right? So House of the Dragon Season 2 did cost more to make, but not that much more. It's like $40 or $50 million more. But they're producing 10 episodes. Some of them are over an hour long.
You know right. what I mean? The episodes, you know, they're not even.
And the writing is good.
Like, and it looks fantastic. The writing is superb. Do you know what I mean? It, yeah. You know, everything looks like all that money's been put on screen. And then you look at any Star Wars show other than Andor and you just think, where is the money going?
I swear. Pardon me, guys. Sorry.
All right. So it makes me wonder how bad a situation Rogue Squadron was in where they delayed it. How bad, like, some of these other projects that were, you know, announced that they no longer are putting into, you know, into production or pausing and stuff. They, like, if you're going to allow this to go through, what's the other stuff like? Because
I mean, either that or the other stuff was more of what we were looking for, and they've been pushing away for that towards maybe, something yeah. else, which is not what the fans are looking for. It's really, it's not good enough. And it, you know, the franchise just, it's a cheap franchise now. It's a cheap sci-fi franchise now, Star Wars.
And know, I get that there's I get there's a group of Star Wars fans out there that enjoy the acolyte. I'm okay with it. It's kind of like Star Trek, and you know, you have your, you know, original, your next generation, all the different deep, you know, what was it, Deep Space Nine and stuff like that. I get that. Like, you know, there's going to be factions of Star Wars fans that prefer one show over the other. You know, some prefer animated versus live action. Some prefer this, that. But it just, like, I get it. If you want to make Acolyte for this certain group of fans, go right forward and stuff like that. But at the same time, dude, there is an immense amount of Star Wars fans out there that are looking for some of the classic stuff. And I'm not saying we got to go back to the Skywalker saga.
Please don't.
But just something that we got with Rogue One, you know, simple as that. You know, it flesh out a little storyline, you know, in a different part of the galaxy, you know, and new characters and stuff. Doesn't have to be, you know, too creative, you know, or the
budget. I like that we've went into a new timeline for the Acolyte.
I'm cool with that. I was excited for
written,
this.
The way it's been written, you know, I like that we don't know anything about the characters.
I'm telling you now, Disney, I am incredibly cheap. Bring me on. Bring Ronald D. Moore on. And we will give you a updated Rogue Squadron series that basically kind of adapts the books, but in the Poe Dameron era, where Wedge is Ackbar, Dameron is Wedge, and we have a new Rogue Squadron that is gearing up and has to go take Coruscant from the First Order, the Danning remainder.
Horncorn.
That was a good one.
Oh, man. Well, guys, I'm not sure how next week will happen. I will be on the road. I'll actually be traveling Wednesday on my way to L.A. So we might be, doing the Anime Expo thing. So we might be doing episodes 6 and 7 together, like this one. But we will get you guys reviews as we can. I hope you guys enjoy it. As you guys can see, we all three of us, it's not an echo chamber here, and it switches. Like, there usually is like two of us out of the three that are more in line, but it'll switch. It'll be me and Cam, it'll be Cam and Shockey, it'll be me and Shockey, and I like the dynamic, and I hope you guys do too. You're not gonna always hear what you want to hear
right
here, but you will get to hear people be honest about their feelings, and that's a good one. So yeah, check it out. Check more content here on the Genreverse out. Lots of anime reactions, live streams. We're going to be doing live streams and videos from Anime Expo. All of our podcasts go up on your favorite podcast apps, and we do have merch that is linked down below. LRMonline.com, your place for ads. No, that's just the internet in general. Your place for all entertainment news. A lot of written articles covering anything and everything in geek pop culture, as well as celebrity interviews and like red carpet events from the LRM YouTube channel. Mendelsohn back for Andor season 2, please. Yes, that was a lot of fun. Shockey, Cam, anything else from you guys?
Let us know in the comments section what you think about the Acolyte. If we're crazy and stuff like that, and you enjoy it, and you think that, you know, put it in the comment section. I really don't. I will say this one. I don't interact a lot on the comment section because it just, you know, sometimes it gets a little too crazy in there and stuff. But I respect everyone's opinions. If you think that we're garbage, great. I'm okay with that and stuff. I might actually like it and everything. So, but at the same time,
he likes
you know,
it dirty.
You know, let us know. That's the only way we're going to be able to do this. And, you know, I would like to see this show kind of expand. I think that sometimes, you know, we get into these echo chambers and stuff. But like Kyle said, we're kind of always shifting on what we like, what we don't like with Star Wars. But I would like to expand to other Star Wars creators and YouTubers out there and get them on and have more conversations like this and, you know, and have fun with it. I love Star Wars. We'll love Star Wars to the day I die and stuff, through thick and thin, you know, and right now we're very thin. But yeah, you know, let
what
us
kind
know.
Of Star Wars fan are you? Cam made that joke on Watch More Football, Genreverse Sports Channel. Cam, yeah. any final words?
No. I think you guys covered everything beautifully, as always.
We'll see you guys in a week or two, and may the Force be with you.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.